Welcome to the final chat about Ori and the Blind Forest. After an extremely extended break, it was 2 weeks. Well, 3 weeks, I guess. We missed two Tuesdays. But it seems like I wanted to give you guys enough time to play, beat your head against the wall, give up in complete and utter failure, and then maybe come back to it. Which I think I might have been the only person, kind of.
Or just burn it in a fire, you know?
Burn it in a fire.
Kindling. Makes excellent kindling. There's the quote for Vice.
Makes excellent kindling. I'm gonna make note of that. Wow.
I don't think you can buy burn digital games.
Well, how about this? You could the walkthrough makes for excellent kindling.
Yeah.
You could print out pictures of the game. The pictures.
Of only the frustrating parts, because anything else you'd feel guilty for burning.
That's true.
A beautiful picture of Ori.
Yeah.
You're just like, burn it to the ground.
You know, it's me.
Frank's just going to go and buy a Stitch doll and burn it.
Wow, this is,
pictures
this is
of all the particle shoots.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Franco, you kind of resigned to watching videos, correct?
I had a great holiday. How about
I mean, like, so you watched, did you watch the up to the ending and with Frank?
What's the correct teacher? Can I take a pass on this?
So Chris, did you watch until the end of the videos?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Chris. Jesus. Oh.
Then how far did you get? Kevin, we'll get back to this answer.
Oh, I got up to the end boss sequence, and I got frustrated with it because
Big Owl, the Big Owl.
I got to the owl fight. And I got stuck at trying to jump up some vertical thing because you only have 30 seconds to get to the next point of cover.
Yeah.
So I kept dying. So I rage quit.
That one was rough. That one was definitely rough sequence. How far did you watch until?
Till the your second encounter with the owl, I guess. Where you learn how to, you pick up the feather and you learn how to glide.
Oh wow, really? Okay. Yeah. That's right, you were kind of behind to begin with.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, well, I played until the end. I'm trying to think of how long you have after you have that with the owl, Kuro. How far after that? I don't think it's too far after that until you beat the game. Not too far.
Yeah, I think after Kuro, you go to the mountain.
Kuro, after you get the gliders, when you go into, I believe that's when you go into the Lost Woods.
You
use Legend of Zelda terms, and then you go into the Lost Woods, then you go to the ice place, then you go to the volcano, I believe.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So it's a bit. I mean, well, no, I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, but that one, the sequence with the owl that you have too, you only have like a few seconds to like get to where you need to go before he like swoops down and like grabs you, was probably the most frustrating parts in the game for me. I almost gave up there and was like, I'm just gonna watch videos like everyone else. But powered through, and I'm guessing it probably took me, I probably died about, I'm going to guess about 50 plus times.
It's not bad. The guy I was watching died like 240 times.
It wouldn't be so bad if they had a few checkpoints in one, but no checkpoints.
Yeah, that's one thing. Or even like a halfway point, where if you got a certain place like halfway through it, it auto-saved it, and so when you died after that, you went back to that halfway point. But instead, it takes you all the way back to the beginning, and you feel like a lot of feelings that go through your head, and none of them are nice or proper. Yeah, so I agree, Kevin. I completely agree. I think it was unnecessarily difficult, you know, points.
Yeah.
Your head against the wall. And I kind of, and it could probably, you know, they could have done the same thing with the other sequences where you had to, there's one where you had to like, where it had like the air going up. So the one at the beginning with the water. If they would have had checkpoints, like at least like halfway through, frustrating, I don't think.
Yeah, the basically that boss took the frustration of the water level and combined it with the frustration of the Kuro encounter after the ice mountain Gummo place.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and there's not that much different other than it just gets harder and harder and harder, and until the world explodes. I mean, Chris, you probably saw, I mean, you saw the ending.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how did you feel? Did you feel that it tied up? How did you feel about the ending?
I thought it was good. I mean, it was kind of predictable in a way. Like, obviously, like, this is what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a good ending overall.
I started seeing Naru again.
Yeah.
You know, and then he came back to life, and the little cute Gummo, the little, I think he's a spider, but some people think he's a frog, helped him out and was guiding him towards Ori. Yeah. Oh, okay, he's going to find Ori, and it's going to be, I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, I kind of thought it'd be okay. I kind of wondered. I was like, is Ori going to die in the end? Like, is that going to be like, you know, and Naru's going to survive and live on? It was definitely a very kind of tied up ending, which I guess maybe you need that after going through the rest of the game and the difficulty level. But it was definitely heart. I mean, it was heartwarming for me. Like, I you know, kind of felt a little, you know, a little tearing in the eye, you know.
Yeah.
A little hotness.
Hotness.
Well, you know, when you start to tear up and you start, you know, you feel a little like flush in your cheeks, and what I meant, guys. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Trying to prevent the tears from coming out, you know.
Exactly. So, it's like hot.
Face is starting to burn.
See, that was one of you guys saying it was probably from the fire you were building, burning the game.
What is that meme? Like, you do something and then, like, don't cry, and then curl up in a ball and cry a lot.
Oh, yes, that meme.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was, it was definitely heartwarming. You know, I was like, oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, knowing the ending, I kind of don't know how they would make a sequel to this unless they go back in time or create some other conflict.
And I think I'm sure we'll be just creating some other conflict. Plus, at the end, it showed the egg hatching, right?
Yeah.
Oh, at the end of the game, it shows one of Kuro's eggs hatching, now under Naru's care.
So then the sequel is the egg getting revenge for its mother's death.
Oh, no!
That'd be a horrible game.
It comes out the egg and it just, like, eats Naru. It's just like, it's gonna be, it'll probably be something like, you know, I'm sure that will definitely come into play.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand, like, because I thought, I mean, I guess Ori still lives with Naru. I thought Ori would go back and live with Naru, but I guess Ori now has a lot of Oris.
Lots of brothers and sisters.
There were several of them, so I guess they probably all, like, live together somewhere in a tree somewhere.
Yeah. Well, in that giving tree or whatever, it's tree of light or whatever it is.
Tree of light?
like, essentially the father of the forest.
Yeah. Something like that. But, I thought the characters were very, they were very, very cute to look at.
Yeah.
The game that causes such rage.
Yeah, their cuteness was not enough to settle the rage.
Right. Yeah. Not like a thing, because, you know, Cuphead, I think, has very pleasing graphics and pleasing characters. You're like, oh, they're so cute, but then, like, shooting yourself in the face.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. This might be a short chat because it was a lot of gameplay. There was a lot of stuff left after where we last left off, but it was just kind of, not the same old, same old. I mean, I think it was continuously challenging, aggressively challenging.
Well,
I don't think there was ever a moment where I was like, oh, I feel like I've done this 1,000 times. You know, I think it was definitely progressive.
Yeah.
You know, in the difficulty level. But, you know, it's just a bunch of going to get this, going to get that, you know, and not saying that's a bad thing, but it just there wasn't that much, like, or story to really talk about other than the very, very end of the game.
What was our play point from? Was this the ice dungeon and the mountain and to the end of the game?
I mean, it was play until the end of the game. So wherever we left off the last time. But I'm not sure I quite remember.
The Gummo Ice Mountain place. I did really like the anti-gravity pads.
Yes. I think I know what you're talking about.
You know, it's where you turned on the gravity thing and then you walked on walls and how to use.
Okay. Yeah. You held that the bright thing, right? You held the light.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. I enjoyed that part as well. I thought, well, okay, so I thought that part was very challenging, and I enjoyed the concept of it. The parts where I had to look at a walkthrough. I think one of maybe two. There was a part where I didn't realize that you could the blocks that were kind of floating in the air. I didn't realize that you could walk on one, and I just wasn't thinking that, like, say you're walking on one side, walk off the edge and fall to the to another block, like across the screen.
Yeah, that it took me a little bit to figure that out, but I did end up figuring it out.
Good, I didn't figure it out. I had to look it up. In my head, I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how, because I knew I had to get up, up to the next level, but I had no idea how to. And then I looked up and I was like, are you serious right now? Like, that was it? You know? Like, but yeah, I died a lot there too. I died a lot there. Oh, I kind of enjoyed the lava area too. Where it had like the streams of lava and you had to complete the different levels.
Oh yeah, some of those were pretty fun. Other ones were like, no, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. 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 No. I completely agree with that. I thought those were pretty challenging for the most part. Without being like throw yourself off a cliff challenging. I just keep using analogies as to how challenging this is compared to how I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the way this game rolls, it seems. Yeah. Anything else that, I mean, the music, I loved the music throughout the entire game.
The art style was really good.
Yeah, no. And it really impresses me that, as like the first chat, was that, you know, they never background scenery. Like, it was fresh all the time. Like, you know, they didn't repeat it from one area to the next. They had, you know, so I thought, I'm impressed by that. And again, I love the character designs. You know, they look just like, you know, Naru and Gumo, and you just want to squish them and hug them.
Yeah.
I like the concept of the game. I wish it had more story in it, peppered through it. It was definitely...
I will say that I think it would have been easier to digest if there was more story. Because, I mean, with the game, it almost felt like they didn't really quite know what they wanted. Like, did they want a platformer, or did they want something that had a really good, rich story? And it seemed like they went too far in one direction and not enough in the other.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think that, you know, like, I think that they did a very story-driven game and made it very beautiful and very, you know, beautifully, you know, have a beautiful story.
Yeah.
But I think that they just didn't choose to go that route. But, you know, I mean, I think a world that could have lent itself more to more story than platformer.
Did any of you play the extra area?
I don't think so. What extra area are you talking about?
The added dark area where everything's dark and then you have to go and get the light orb.
Last time.
Yeah, I don't know if you... We didn't really talk about the story aspect, though, that was added in that afterwards. Because if you keep going down, there's even more in it.
Yeah, I didn't go back to there.
Yeah.
I was done with it once I finished.
Yes. Yeah. The
Hallelujah.
In that area, you they have a part where, what is it? It basically ends up telling a little bit about Naru's childhood. And how she used to play with all the different forest creatures and befriend them and everything, and then her dad was essentially like, no, you can't do that, you're gonna go and like hurt yourself and all this other jazz. And then he eventually dies and turns into a stone, and then Naru goes back to her old ways of taking care of things, and that's how she ends up with Ori and everything.
Probably
add something to it. I still think, I mean, you know, and even seeing that that was an added area, the story that they put in there, they must have seen, like, you know, a good opportunity to explain a little bit more of the characters that we didn't explain to begin with. I don't know. You know, I doubt that they will. I kind of wish that the second one would go more into the world and more into the story of things, but I'm sure it would just be another platform, because that's what it's known for.
Yeah.
Is its difficulty level. But
I also want to kind of know a little bit more about the culture of Gummo's people, because you just kind of go into their weird gravity portal-esque world. And they're all dead. And it just kind of glosses over the fact that, like, oh, they're all dead. They have, like, a few bits where he's sad.
Yeah.
Rather than that, it's just, okay.
Kind of reminds me of, now that you're saying that, and you say it that way, it reminds me of, gosh, dang it. What was that one that we played with the two brothers and they were called brothers? There we go. That we played a few games back.
Yeah.
Damn, vaguely try to remember brothers, yeah.
Brothers, oh, yeah. Had to work in tandem. Yeah. And then towards the end. The brother dies, when the brothers die, and
yes.
That it kind of, the world of Ori, kind of just how things go unexplained, yet you see things in it, like what Kevin was mentioning, you know, with Gumo's culture, and you see things in it and you're like, oh, I would like to know more about this. Oh, nope, sorry, we're moving. There's no explanation here, folks. No explanation here. Because I felt the same way with parts in Brothers, where, especially like when you go through the, where all the giants are dead, and, like, surmise that it's from this war or whatever, but it doesn't, there's no story attached to it. It's just, oh, you're just walking over.
Yeah.
It's okay. And you mentioned it that way, Kevin, and that's what that reminds me of. Have you played Brothers, Kevin?
I watched my brother play it. I don't remember the dead giants, but I do remember a decent amount of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that game had unexplained, like, things in the world that seems interesting. You're like, I would like to know more about this. Nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Continue on.
Yeah.
It was just a neat mechanic we wanted to put in for a bit, so.
Yeah,
and
right.
Gumo also, like, he ends up even sacrificing Marth, because he ends up destroying his whole, or a good portion of his whole people's home to stop Kura. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that an actual train, or was that...
That was fun.
Yes, that was a real train.
I mean, okay. That was fun. Playing train simulator.
That was fun.
Train simulator, next game, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Imagine God. You just sitting on a train, just, like, chatting away, like,
our next game is that bus simulator thing that they just released it for VR Penn and Teller's bus thing.
Desert bus
by Penn and Teller.
This unreleased game that was originally on the Sega, that was going to be on the Sega CD. And it was basically like a bunch of different mini games. And the ROMs were eventually released. And in one of the games was this bus like driving simulator, and basically it's you driving from is it California to Las Vegas or something like that?
Yeah, it's like a couple hours.
It's it's basically like real-time driving going like 60 miles per hour down a highway.
And you have to pay attention because the bus leans slightly to like the right or something. Yeah,
so you can't just like sit there and just keep the bus on a straight path. Like, it will actually move. So you need to actually sit there and drive there. And so what people have done now is they do like charity events where they'll play that game and they'll drive back and forth a few times and raise money for some organization.
Oh, that's both amazing and just incredulous at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Interesting.
Cute little luck by Penn and Teller turns into a, you know.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, all right. Well, is there anything else that you guys are like, you know, that you want to talk about? That you want to discuss? I mean, not talk about. I don't want to open it up that much.
I was a little bit disappointed that getting all of the, like, besides getting an achievement, like, there wasn't really any purpose of getting all of the experience orbs and stuff, because there are more experience orbs than you need to actually get all the abilities.
That's strange. Yeah, you think there'd be a reason behind that, but
yeah, it's basically so that if people miss something, they didn't have to go back. But by the end of the game, you're just like, oh, I went and got all of these, but all I got was a ding.
Yeah.
You got an achievement.
Yeah, that's strange. That is strange. Desert Bus Angry Video Game Nerd. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, discussing with this, so we can go into the scoring. This should be fun and interesting. All right. So Franco, just for anyone is at all listening, this is where we go in and we hear our final scores and final thoughts on Ori and the Blind Forest or whatever game that we're playing. Franco, lead us off.
Rather than give it a score, I would like to ask. No. I just because I want to be fair. I'm not a platformer, so you know, contaminate the review with my novice frustrations with the game. As for people, Steph, take it from your expertise at Cuphead and such, and ease of going through this game, relatively speaking. Is it too hard? And is what could they have done to get rid of the rage quits?
Franco, you ask a lovely question.
which you have no answer.
I think it just all depends on what you like. You know, I mean, okay, personally, this is just me. Personally, I thought it was just hard enough for me to be on the verge of being like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get past this part, to finally getting past the part and then being like, yes, absolutely, literally, like I was playing it in the airport and waiting, you know, for my flight or whatever, and past that stupid owl part, and I literally wanted to cheer. I was like, yes, I think I literally said aloud, I was like, yeah, you know, and people probably thought I was crazy. And so that to me, like, that's perfect. I said, I wish it had more story, but as far as platforming goes, for me personally, I liked it. But I, you know, I'm sure I represent, you know, I mean, there's different tiers of platformers in the world of gaming. I didn't mind it. Discussed earlier, I think if you had, like, especially in those long sequences, if you had more save points, like, you know, like that saved it halfway through this big run instead of making you start all over again. Or if the difficulty level mattered more. I have a difficulty level, right? But it didn't really, like, it just affected your health and how much you hurt things.
Yeah.
The easy was not easy compared from what the rest of you have said. Yeah, I played it on normal.
Just giving you, I guess, a little bit more health, and things didn't do as much damage, but it still, it was, the washing machine was still, I mean, there are some areas where you could have infinite health and it wouldn't help. You still can't get up that chute, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so for me personally, I think it could have been, definitely could have been more forgiving on quality goes. And especially, I think if it would have, if you were on easy, you didn't have as many baddies around, you know?
Right.
It lessened the baddies or way other than just giving you just a tad bit more health. I mean, just very minimal, and then letting your hits hit very minimally more.
Remove spikes.
Right.
That would have been a nice, I mean, at least, you know, post playing here, if they let you damage instead of them having their being there permanently to mock you in your death.
Yeah.
Which they did. Chris, you've watched the videos. Do you have anything to add as far as what they could have done to make it better?
Yeah, I mean, for me, and like when I was playing it and everything too, it's just the easy mode should have been easier. Make it so that, I don't know, like there's more health everywhere, that it's easier to increase your health and your, what was it, the crystals or whatever it was, the thing was. Because, like, I was going through the whole thing and I only had, I think, 3 crystal spheres. And then you're watching other videos and they already have, like, 5 or 6. And it's like, well, how do you get that? You know, or just, like, make it on the easier, make it more obvious on where to find them.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yep. Nope, I agree. So. Kevin said, less spikes and ball save points. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, quote, like, especially with watching the videos, too. Like, when you're in the boss areas or the areas where you have to flee, put in checkpoints. Don't, like, let someone get all the way to the very end and then accidentally die and then have to repeat the whole thing all over again. Like, that's how you get people to rage quit and just never pick the game up ever again.
Exactly. I can't tell you how many times I got right before that last, in that owl escape.
Yeah, and so it's like,
I knew I was almost there, but
And the worst part, too, is, like, it gave you just enough time to just get to the point where you get killed. Where it's like, oh, I have to use my abilities to use that extra 1/2 of a millisecond to get to the safe spot.
Or you're done.
Yeah.
Or you are done.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So... There's your answer, Franco.
Thank you. I will forward that to the developers.
Franco's like, I'm writing a very strongly worded letter right now.
Yes.
And they will get your responses.
I have their number to their office administrator, so.
Right. Okay. Or to their office administrator?
Well, oh, I don't know. I was just saying. Franco. Yeah. I could see Franco like directly calling them and
oh, yeah. Giving.
Yeah.
Like
grinds my gears.
Yeah. Do you have a pen and paper ready? Because I'm about ready to give you a lot of information to pass on.
Yeah.
Oh, what are your office hours? I'm going to be over.
Yeah.
The end of those calls, and those calls are fun to receive.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, there's.
I have nothing else to do with my day than write down your complaints, sir. <Sarah. laughs> Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh yeah.
You didn't get very far. I mean, you didn't get like towards the end. So if you want to skip one, giving the score. But you can give a score if you want, and you can give your final thoughts.
Are you talking to me,
Franco?
Oh, Kev, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, to add to your easy mode.
I think you're talking, and we can't hear.
I can hear Kevin.
Oh, it's me. Let me try exiting out, and going back in, then.
One moment, please. Oh, that was quick.
Yeah. To add to your easy mode.
Yes.
I was thinking of, because I never knew what it was until I had looked it up later, but I had a demo for a PlayStation Spider-Man game, and they had a thing called Kid Mode. And for playing it, you didn't actually have to do anything with the controller. It was basically a mode for your kid, so that if they could try to actually do stuff, but you didn't actually have to play. So,
that is beautiful.
So, if they had that mode for it, like, easy mode, like, some of the parts of the game would just do it for you, because you can't get past this part on your own.
Especially, if you died a lot. Like, if you die a lot in one area, and they were like, hey, here's some tips on, like, how to get past this area. That's not often found in the gaming world.
Yeah, or be like, do you want us to do it for you?
It's just, there were certain parts of this game where it was just, you had to be spot on. You could not
mess,
period. And it's just, that's very unforgiving. And there's no amount of life that will help you, you know, be that precise in some of your moves.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, there was a puzzle in the lava level where you have to do the opposite shooting of a ball through a bunch of portals, and it was like the most frustrating thing ever, because you had to go through like 10 different portals or something to actually get it to the end, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
I think if you're not a platforming, if you're not a platformer, if you're not a person that enjoys difficult platforms, this game running curve that's sometimes impossible to succumb.
Yeah, I would definitely advise it. You know, this is an upper echelon platformer. This is like
For sure.
This is not Donkey Kong.
Not Donkey Kong. No, it's not Donkey Kong Country either.
Mario. I mean, I don't know.
It's like the Lion King. It's the Lion King.
But only the second level.
What was the second level?
I think the second level was the I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Can't Wait to Be King. The Stampede is a little bit of a learning curve as well. And that stupid level with the hyenas. Because I always could never, it took me forever to like jump on the platforms to kill this, and you would jump on them and like they wouldn't die right away. And anyways, I could go on. Okay, so Franco, that's all your thoughts. You're done.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the curve.
All right, that's fine. I think your curve's gonna fit in with, but that's okay.
My curve's just fine. I'll just double Chris's score.
Double Chris's score. Great. Yeah. All right, Kevin.
Overall. It's kind of tough because I really like the art, but just some of the puzzles and aspects were just really poorly designed because it just takes so long to actually get through it. Like you even said, you had probably used like 50 deaths at the last boss, and I'm probably gonna, once I actually finally get through it, I'll probably end up having to use like 100 or something. It's just like, you finally figured out how to get past that easy part. Well, here's another thing that's going to stump you. So I probably would have to give it a 6 just because of that frustration. It would probably be higher if it didn't have that. But
yeah, for sure.
What it is.
For sure. No, I understand that. Stanton?
So first off, I will say that Ori is a moderate substitution for a dog. Since he's very animalistic and somewhat dog-like.
He's very dog-like. Yeah.
So that gets a little nod there. But, like I said before, it seems like when they were making this game, they weren't quite sure. Or it seemed like they were having issues with balancing story and platformer.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like there was a good base story there, albeit it was somewhat cliche or, something that we've all seen before where it's, this one thing travels off and the other thing starts to die because he's not there anymore and chaos ensues and blah, blah, blah. There's that. But the art, the music and everything, it was all beautiful. It's just a shame that it was way too much platformer and not... There wasn't a lot of balance there. And this game isn't for everyone. I would say it's really more for the hardcore platformers than any moderately casual game player, because the casual people are going to pick it up, start playing it, and then get frustrated and just not bother picking it up anymore after that. Because of that, I'm going to have to give it a 5.5.
Okay.
I mean, I hate to, because the game... It looks great, and like the story and everything's pretty decent, but it's just it suffers from a lot of issues. So it's and before I say anything, if you get frustrated with this, go play Gora Goa and get even more frustrated with that.
Oh, see, I love Gora Goa, but I'm just going to step away. Yeah. I'm stepping away.
Such
I'm
a good game.
Okay, so. I liked this game because I'm pretty, I love platformers. I'm a merist platformer. No, I don't know. But
enthusiast.
More enthusiast. That's a good... I like that.
You eat platformers for breakfast.
Exactly. I eat platformers for breakfast. And, I liked it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't... I can definitely see where it got a lot of its hype when it first came out. I just remember, like, every streamer was playing it, because I was, like, into Twitch at the time, and, like, everyone was like, I'm playing Ori and the Blind Forest, and I was like, I don't know what this game is. Like, I just knew that it made some people cry, you know? And,
not from the ending.
Yeah. It's like the beginning and the ending made people cry. Everything in between just made them rage. Cry. In rage.
Cry in a different way.
Yeah, cry in a different way. And, yeah, so I enjoyed the challenge of it. That almost made me, you know, get up and throw my computer out a window and follow through right after. But it was okay. It was good. I really wish that there was more story, and I agree with Chris in that I think there could have been more balance, because I think it has and the characters to create an interesting and beautiful story. The small bit of story that was there wasn't, because there were moments it was, but I think it definitely to be a lot more story-wise, but they chose to go way more, platformer for driven game, which is in their rights as a story. As a person who liked playing story-driven games as well as platformers, I wish there was more of a balance. And I think that would have made it pretty in my book. Because I did enjoy the characters. The art style was beautiful. The music was just hypnotizing. And I know, you know, I think Madeline said that she's listened to the music for, like, studying and stuff, like, even before playing the game. I think it's beautifully composed. I like the idea of the world, as I said it before. But I definitely think it could have used more balance. And I definitely think in the gameplay and in the difficulty level, I wish there was more to either play really easy or play really, really hard. Because I think it's the kind of game that going into it, you don't really expect it to be so hard.
Yeah.
You know, you start playing it. Like, I know when I started playing, I was like, okay, it's, you know, because some people were like, that game's known for being difficult. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. I've played a half hour of it. It's perfect, guys. This is going to be great. And then the more and more you go into it, it was like, oh no.
Well, especially hearing everyone rave about it, too. It's
I know. But I think the people that I've heard rave about it, though, thinking back, like, they're platformers.
Yeah.
They like playing platformers. So I definitely wish I had that. So, yeah, I mean, as Chris said, like, points that go against it. That, like, a good score. So I'm going to go slightly higher than a 5.5. A 7.5 in my book. But then again, just as a disclaimer, that's coming from a person that difficult platforms. So there you go. So that wraps that part up, and we'll post the scores in the group, Facebook group. So next game, guys. Next game. I posted it earlier, but if you didn't see, we're playing Finding Paradise, which is the sequel to Chew the Moon. Entire group cry last year.
Yep.
Or 2 years ago? Sometime. Year and a half? I don't know.
Yeah, somewhere
around. I think it was last year. It was last year. And so Paradise. It's currently $1 off on Steam until the 4th. So give that $1 to or something. Yeah, definitely can. You definitely can. And if you haven't checked out the Steam Winter Sale, the Steam Winter Sale is going on until the 4th.
Yep.
All that Christmas money.
Well, at least the game isn't $30 and only gets the occasional 20% off, like a certain game.
Like what game? What are you talking about, Kevin?
That game that we all hated.
Like Ori?
No, the game before that one.
Oh, Observer. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So at least this game is cheap.
Well, I can say with confidence this game is no Observer.
It's no Observer.
Observer is the Plan 9 from Outer Space of video games. So bad.
Finding Paradise, originally $8.99, it is now, I think, $7.99 in the Steam store. And let me see here. One second. Blah, blah, blah. Let's just pull this up here. I'll post a link in the chat so you guys have that. There we go.
Yep.
So your first stopping point for that is going to be... Nope, that's not what I wanted to do. Not what I was intending. First stopping point is about 2-ish hours in, probably. But it's right after the picture I just posted. It is when the main character of the game, other than doctors here in the photograph, from To the Moon, the main character that the doctors are treating is Colin. Colin, he learns to fly his very first plane with the help of his instructor, Barry, and that's where you'll save and stop 2-ish hours in. So the first act was over, because I think there's like 3 acts, but it still wasn't over. And so if you reach act 2, you've gone way too far. Yes, you do need to binge the original, Kevin. Yes, well, if you haven't, yes, it is well worth it. If you haven't played the original, I think it took us, what was it, 2 chats, Stanton?
Three? Think so. Might have been 3.
Online it says about, 4 to 5 hours.
4 to 5 hours, that's about right. I think
that's including the 2 extra little mini-sodes or whatever it is.
Yeah, we did only 2.
Yeah, so about 4 to 5 hours. Yeah, that's about right. So a quick play, but well worth it. And I said I played the first 2.5 hours in, and it is just as enchanting as the original. Very interesting. Very interesting. There's a couple of things that I'm like, I want to see where this goes. So, and that's one thing, try not to play too far ahead, because I know you guys and, it does have that kind of quality to where you're like, I want to see what comes next. I want to see what comes next.
And I don't know what you're talking about. Going and going.
Yeah, I know. Nah, I'm sure you don't.
Well, there's another thing you could say with absolute confidence that people playing Ori, that there is no one who wants to play too far ahead. You get right to the stopping point, it's like...
You're ready to throw in the towel, yeah. They're like, I've made it. I have made it. Hmm. Yeah, I think this would be a nice little break after Ori.
Yeah.
It's a little breather of story and just and loveliness. So there you go. And I'll post the stopping point in the Facebook group. I will have it there as well.
Alright.
Okay.
Interesting. Any fun games?
I'm trying to remember what it was. There was a, I think it's like Use Your Words or something like that.
Oh yeah.
My brother got that on the PlayStation sale. That was really fun.
Oh, that's nice.
I played it on New Year's Eve. I didn't enjoy it as much as I do like Jackbox.
Jackbox is amazing. Have you played the Jackbox games, Kevin?
Yeah, I've played, the only one I have really played, though, is, I think it's Drawful?
Oh, yeah.
Drawful.
You need to play the other ones. Yeah. You need to play the other ones.
I played the other ones a little bit, but I haven't gotten to play
least interesting, in my opinion. And that's coming from a person who draws. So, like, the sound one is fun. I can't remember. I think it's called Sound Bites. That one's a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
And then Quiplash. That's what I was thinking. Quiplash is just the best, in my opinion.
Quiplash and Fibbage.
Fibbage is good, too. Yeah. Fibbage is good.
We played...
Yeah?
We played Hidden Agenda. That's on the PS4.
Oh. How was
it? I heard that game is actually not that great.
So, the only thing I don't like about it is that you have to download the PlayStation PlayLink app to play it. And the PlayStation PlayLink games all have their each individual app.
Oh.
That's kind of ridiculous.
But, once we got everything all set up and going, it was actually pretty enjoyable. The graphics were really fantastic, except for the locking animations, where they just looked really weird and out of place. But, like, the facial animations and everything like that was really good. And, you know, it was fun. Like, we were playing cooperative mode because it was our first time playing it, and everyone seemed to enjoy themselves.
That's good.
Yeah, it took, cool. I think it was about an hour and a half worth of play. So yeah.
So you didn't like Gorogoa?
No, I loved Gorogoa.
Okay.
That, like, I think I finished that within maybe an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think mine was like...
Actually, I can tell you how long I played that for.
I think. But,
is it like a really small puzzle game or something?
93 minutes.
It's a small puzzle game, but it's very intriguing. Like, it kind of...
So it's like a slider puzzle in a way, where there are certain aspects where each tile you have to line up in a specific way to solve puzzles.
Yeah.
And it's just... a really interesting, unique mechanic. And the whole time I am playing it, I was like, how long did it take these people to make these puzzles and think them up and like get it working and everything? Because it's like, there's a lot of complex stuff that you have to go through to solve stuff.
It was one guy?
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
He worked... 7 years on this game.
Wow.
It's his first video game. He worked 7 years, quit his job, because he tried to work on it when he was still working as a programmer, I think.
Okay.
But then, into it, he quit his job and just worked on the game itself with, like, funding or whatever, or with savings, I think. And like, he's in his 40s. So, like, he had, like, you know, money saved up. And 4 years and just worked straight on it. Yeah, but it took him 7 years.
Wow.
Each illustration is hand-drawn. I mean, some of the animations, of course, are not, you know, completely, you know, hand-done. Yeah. But they're all hand-drawn. Everything was pretty much from him.
Wow, that's amazing.
I don't think he worked with anyone. I don't think that anyone... I think he learned how to animate. To animate the scenes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a fun, small game that is very intriguing and very meticulous in its illustrating, and it isn't straightforward. There's a lot of like assuming you have to do, but I think it's just very it's very interesting.
Jake Roberts is the guy who did it.
Yeah.
And the publisher, what else did they did another game too.
I don't know. I mean, I know it was in the same
Edith Finch, I think, was the other game they published.
Yep. Him up. I think that was around the time that he quit his job. It's probably like how he was funded after he quit his job.
Oh, okay.
As a programmer. He was picked up by that company.
But yeah, I mean, if you like puzzle games and everything, definitely pick this up. It's pretty cheap right now as of this recording.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's challenging. There were a few times where I did have to look up a walkthrough because it was just like...
Yeah. I think I looked up once or twice.
I'm just staring at this thing and I'm like, okay, what am I doing? And then it's like realizing that what you think should be right side up shouldn't be right side up.
Yeah. So. Yeah. For me, it was a lot of like some things are framed.
Yeah.
Like you'll have a picture of something that's framed and you can take off the frame and move it to a different area of the puzzle board. And I kept forgetting that was like a way that you could work out things. And I would be like, so I'd look it up and I'd be like, oh, you take the frame off of the clock so you can adjust it.
Yeah. And then the other frustrating thing too, was that there are some tiles that match up with other tiles that don't necessarily solve that specific puzzle you're currently working on.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yep. It's very interesting.
Yes.
It's like that puzzle piece that fits into the other thing, but it doesn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like that stupid puzzle piece. That's a perfect point. It's like that stupid puzzle piece when you're working a puzzle and it fits into another puzzle piece and you're like, okay, this is fine. This is good. And then you realize, no, this is not, this doesn't go there. This doesn't, why do you fit into that puzzle piece?
George Washington. Does it have four eyes? I don't know what.
to quote Elf, you sit on the throne of lies.
Yeah, exactly. All right, dudes.
Okay.
This will close it out. And see you guys next week. Finding Paradise.
Yep. All right. Bye.
All right.
Bye.